Agiyante, you know, Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanus. It's the Rosh Hashanah for trees. It's the day that the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it's the day where the sap and the nutrition, the energy of the tree begins to concentrate. Which really means it's the begin, it's, as far as if you're a farmer, it's really the day that that you sort of look towards a difficult season, a lot of work. So sometimes when you see a long distance ahead of a lot of work, it becomes a little bit daunting, it becomes a little bit overwhelming. So the Rebbeinu Shlom told us that on Tu B'Shvat, which is the beginning of that long journey of a farmer, eat the pears now. It means taste a little bit of what the journey, what the destiny is going to be. When you taste a little bit of where you're headed, even right now, so it gives a little bit of a comfort. So you know, when it comes to Tu B'Shvat, the pasuk that's shining on Tu B'Shvat is a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki adam eitz hasada," that the person is compared to a tree. Ki adam eitz hasada. That's why the Rosh Hashanah for trees is shaykh to eat also. Ki adam eitz hasada. What's the parsha that pasuk was said in context of? So the parsha that's about is the following. The pasuk says it's a part of Sefer Dvarim. It says in pasuk that when the Jewish people go to Eretz Yisrael or any other place, and they go to fight a war against an enemy city, and we lay siege against the city, and obviously when we're attacking an enemy, the idea is to destroy everything, to destroy all the resources and everything in order to be victorious in the war. So the pasuk says, that's what you should do, destroy all the infrastructure, destroy everything in order to be successful. But if you see a fruit-bearing tree, don't touch it. L'sashtes is eitzah. Don't destroy the fruit-bearing tree. You can eat from it. Don't destroy it. Ki adam eitz hasada, because the person is compared to the tree. So that's where Tu B'Shvat is. It's in that pasuk. It's in that parsha. If you think about it, if you sort of like envision the scene, it's a very strange scene. Because you have an entire area of just destruction, of desolation, of warfare, of combat, of enemy territory that you're constantly afraid of what's going to be around the corner. That's the scene. And like, in the middle of that, there's this like oasis. There's a fruit tree, whatever the type of fruit tree it is, it's a fruit tree. It's like, that's untouched. And it's almost as if when the pasuk is painting this picture, this scene, where everything around it is balagan and destruction, but the tree, in the middle of it, mamish in the middle of it, is untouched, ki'ilu, nothing's going on. So what does that tell us about Tu B'Shvat? What's that voida? What does that tell us? Ki'ad me'is asada. I see, you know, when it comes to the minig of Klal Yisrael, to how we celebrate Tu B'Shvat, so the minig is, of most kilas, is to have some fruit on Tu B'Shvat. Now which fruit are we going to have on Tu B'Shvat to celebrate and to bring a schus to trees in general? So obviously we're going to pick the most chashuv of fruit that exists. What's the most chashuv of fruit that exists? Well, the only thing we know is what it says in Torah. So what does it say in Torah? The most chashuv of pears of Eretz Yisrael, which is the most chashuv of place, we know. It's the Shivas Aminim. Eretz Chitas, Oira, Gefen, Tein, Rima, and Eretz Yishem, and Udvash, and so on. The Shivas Aminim. So that's the minute. To eat all the Shivas Aminim, to make brachas in the Shivas Aminim. That makes sense. But I spoke about this in previous years, but there's one additional fruit that the minig is to eat, and it doesn't seem to fit in the regular model of like eating chashuv of fruits, which is the boxer fruit. Charev, the boxer fruit. What's this inyan of eating boxer? We find it throughout Chazal, like it's an interesting fruit. It has a shaykhus to Reb Shimon, Bar Yochai, other places. But what's its place in Tu B'Shvat? We've spoken about this in previous years, so this year will be no different. To me, when you think about boxer, you think about the charev, the carob, that's what this fruit is. To me, the story that I go to automatically, and we've spoken about this in previous years, is Chani Amazon. It's the Gemara in Tainis. It's a famous story in Sechas Tainis, Chav Gimel, Aleph. I'll just tell you the quick story. There's a lot of details over here, but we'll keep it just a basic story. And then we'll be mine to see what the penis is a little bit. So the Gemara says in Chav Gil Mad Aleph that there was a Tana, there was someone, the big tzaddik in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, towards the end of the second Beis Hamikdash, Chayni Hamago. His name was Chayni Hamago, the circle maker. Chayni Hamago. And the Gemara says, Amaisa, that Chayni Hamago, his whole life was Niskasha. His whole life he was bothered with the Pasuk. It says in Pasuk, Sher Malas, Meshuv Hashem, Meshiv HaSiyan. It says in Pasuk, we know this kapitel, that Hashem is going to bring back the captives, he's going to bring back the Yidden Teretz Yisrael, Mashiach is going to come. And when we look back at Golas, it's going to be like we were sleeping. So said Chayim Magal, his whole life he had a difficulty with this Pasuk. Again, even before Mashiach, the Pasuk is also talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, right? The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And then there was an exile of 70 years. And then Chayim Magal came back. So that Pasuk of Yinu Kachom also applies to that. So ask Chayim Magal, is it possible to sleep for 70 years? Yinu Kachom, you're sleeping. For 70 years you're sleeping? How is it possible? First of all, what type of kasha is that? Obviously, it's a metaphorically speaking, sleeping. But what type of kasha? How do you sleep for 70 years? Obviously, it doesn't mean to physically sleep. But this was the kasha of Chayim Magal. So the Gemara says, the famous Maisa, that Hashem wanted to give him an answer. So what happened? So the Gemara says, a Maisa, that he was passing by a certain young person planting a boxer tree. And he asked the young man, he said, you know how long it takes for this tree to produce pears? He said, yeah, it takes 70 years. It's a long time. He says, you expect to live that long, you're so guaranteed that you're going to see the pears of this tree. So the person said, no. He said, no, I'm not doing this for myself. The language of the Gemara is arranged. The language is, he said, the person says about himself, Ahu gavra charuva ba'alma matzah. Me, myself, he says, that when I came into the world, I came into the world with a boxer tree. In other words, in commemoration of my birth, my parents, grandparents, someone planted a boxer tree for me. So I came into the world with a world of the boxer tree. So that's how I'm going to do it for my children as well. My grandchildren, they're going to come in with boxer trees. It's not for me, it's for my generations. Okay. It says the Gemara, Chayim Magal sat down to eat some food, eat some bread. He washes and benches and so he eats. It says the Gemara, a slumber fell upon him and he falls asleep. The Gemara says the rocks came and sort of grew over it, so he was hidden from sight and he sleeps for 70 years. And he wakes up and what happens? He wakes up and he sees the buxer trees already giving pears. And he sees someone taking the pears off. And Chayim Magal says, are you the person that planted this? No, that was my grandfather. Chayim Magal says, oh, Shmami, no, I slept for 70 years. So, if you are the Pratim, the Gemara says that he went to the Beis Medrash. He asked around, first of all, he says, are the children of Chayim Magal around? No, they're not around him, but the grandchildren are. So the Gemara says, Amaisi, he goes to the Beis Medrash, and he opens the door of the Beis Medrash, and they're talking and learning. And one person says a pshat about something, and the other person responds, oh, I'm hearing Shmaitzin, Kimecha Niyamaga. What you just said, it's mamish like the Torah that we're learning today. It's as lichtig, it's as light as the Torah of Chayim Magal's time. So he says, oh, taka. So he says, I'm Chayim Magal. Yeah, you're not Chayim Magal, you're Meshigman. Chayim Magal disappeared 70 years ago, you're not Chayim Magal. I'm telling you, Chayim Magal, no one believed him. So the Gemara says, out of sadness over the fact that he had no one to connect to, because no one believed him, no one wanted to befriend him, no one believed him. So the Gemara says Chol Shaita, he had Chlish Shadas Boy Rachmi, he davened Hashem, and he passed away. He davened Hashem that he should be taken, and he passed away. Omar Rava says Hani Damiyinshi, that's the saying Oy Chavrusa and Yisusa, person needs companionship. Adkan, that's the story. The whole thing is a pella. What type of kasha did Chayim Magal have? Is who sleeps for 70 years? And what does Hashem have to... this thing that he sleeps for 70 years? And then he goes to Beis Medrash. The whole thing is a power. Okay. So the truth is like this. To appreciate the story, you have to learn, you have to know a different story. There's an earlier story that the Gemara mentions before this, which is the story of why he's called Chayim Magal. It's also a famous Maisa. I'll just go through it quickly. Maisa is, the Gemara says, again, he was known as a Pol Yeshua, so he was known as a big tzaddik, Koyach of Davin in particular. The Gemara says, even Maisa, that his grandchildren also, they were sort of Yarshim this Koyach. So the Gemara says that there was a drought, and the Chachamim came to Chayim Magal, they sent a message to Chayim Magal, that you have to Davin for the generation. So Chani, this is how he got his name, Chani Mago. So Gemara says that he drew a circle on the floor and he stood inside the circle and he says, Rabbanu Shloimeh, I'm making an oath. I'm not leaving the circle until you bring rain. So Gemara says that immediately it started to drizzle. And so the Talmidim said to Chani Mago, Rebbe, it seems that Hashem is just trying to like be Yitzhazayim, you know, with the to get away with it. So Chani Mago turns to Shemani and says, that's not the rain I asked for. I asked for real rain. And then it starts coming down like dangerously slow. So then Chaim Agel says, that's also not what I asked for. I asked for Gishmei Bracha. And then it comes down well. It comes down good. Then the Gemara says something interesting. The Gemara says that there was such good rain. How do I know it was such abundance of rain? So the Gemara says it was raining so much ad kedei kach, until the point of where the oilam had to go up to Har Bayis. Because of the you know, the water level that was rising, they had to go to a higher place. They went to the higher valleys. That's how much water was coming down. Okay. Then the Gemara says, after the rain stopped and everything, the Gemara says what happened was everyone went out and they started picking mushrooms. There was mushrooms that started to sprout and started to grow. And the Gemara says that was also a siman that was Gishmei Bracha that it produced mushrooms. Interesting zach. Then the Gemara says that Shimon Shetach sent a message to Chani Magal. He said, Shimon Shetach was the God of Hadar. Shimon Shetach said, Il Moli Chani Ata, if it wasn't for the fact that you're Chani, I would have put you in Chayrim now. I would put you in Chayrim. Why? Put you in Chayrim because you're saying Chuzpatik. You're talking to Hashem in such a way, I'm not leaving the circle. So I would put you in Chayrim. But you're Chani, so I'm not doing that. And says Shimon Shetach, and another thing, if you were alive in the generation of Eliyahu Navi, then you would be causing a chilul Hashem. What does that mean? Because the pasuk says in Sefer Melachim that Eliyahu Navi's time, Eliyahu Navi made a shvuah that there shouldn't be rain. Jewish people were dealing with a bizarre, and so Eliyahu Navi made a shvuah that there shouldn't be rain. So says Shem Shetach, well, if you're the generation of Eliyahu Navi and you made a shvuah that there should be rain, so one of the oaths has to be off, right? Something's got to give. So it's going to cause the chil Hashem. Both oaths were Eliyahu's oath was with Hashem's name, and your oath is with Hashem's name. So either way, there's going to be one of the oaths that's going to be bracha batala, so to speak. So if you're in Eliyahu's, so I put you in chayrim if you were in Eliyahu Navi's generation. So then the Gemara says that was a letter that Shimon Shetach sent. The Gemara says that the Anshe Lishkas Hagazis, the people of Lishkas Hagazis, meaning the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin sent a different letter to Chaim Agel, praising him and thanking him for what he did. And it's a whole letter talking about praising Chaim Agel in terms of how he uplifted the generation. He brought them to a higher place. It's a whole lashon that the Anshei Lishkas Hagazis say. That's the Maisa. There's a number of strange things. First of all, why does the Gemara have to prove that there was so much rain? You know how much rain there was? People had to go up the Har Abayis. Why? What's the significance of that? Base. The Gemara says, I'll prove to you also the Rigishmei Bracha that it was good rain. It wasn't just a volume-wise of a lot. It was good. How? Because there was so much mushrooms. It's the vicinity of Kameno Pitrius. What's the vicinity of going out to the fields and plucking mushrooms? What does that have to do with if that's the simon. You know how it's Gishmei Bracha? Because all the wells were filled and everyone was able to drink. What was this in with Kameinu Pitrius, with mushrooms, with truffles and things like this? Pilek line. Third of all, Shem Ben Shetach. So Shem Ben Shetach sends a message to Chani Amagel, if it wasn't for the fact that you're Chani, I put you in Chayim. What does that do with the fact that his name is Chani? If it wasn't for the fact that you're Tzaddik, I put you in Chayim. If it wasn't for the fact that you got away with it, I put you in Chayim. What does that have to do with the Imole Chayni Ata? Let's say his name was Yankel, not Chayni, then he would be put in Chayrim. The point is, obviously that's not the Pshat, right? The Sim Pshat is, Imole Chayni, if it wasn't for the fact that you're a tzaddik and somehow you're able to be part of these things, I would put you in Chayrim. So what does it do with the fact that he's Chayni? He's missing, Shimon Shetach is not saying the point. Second of all, if you were in the generation of Eliyahu Navi, also I put you in Chayrim because you're forcing one of the oaths to be batal. Well, he's not in Eliyahu Navi's generation. What's the problem? And Chanami, if he was in Eliyahu's generation, he wouldn't do this, no? So if you were in Eliyahu's generation, it would be a problem. He's not in Eliyahu's generation. So let's see. Fifth of all, I don't know what we're up to. When the Gemara, the Anshe Lishkas Hagazis, the second letter, the men of Lishkas Hagazis, that was the name of the chamber of the room that the Sanhedrin sat in. So the men that sit in Lishkas Agoza sent a letter to him, praising him and thanking him for what he did for the generation and the brachas that he brought them. Why are they, all of a sudden, I'm not familiar with anywhere else in Shas that the people that the Sanhedrin are called Anshe Lishkas Agoza. The people that sit in Lishkas Agoza, the Sanhedrin, I don't know. The Gemara can say, the Sanhedrin sent them a letter. All of a sudden we're talking about where they live, Anshe Lishkas Agoza. All things are power. It's just like this. What was Chani Amago's trick? How was he pulling such a thing? He draws a circle. I'm not leaving. Obviously, if there's no rain, it's for a reason. If there was some kitchrig, there was some din, whatever it is. So what exactly is he doing? Here's an akudu. There's two levels of emuna. There's two levels of how Hashem runs the world. There's two levels of Iskashos Telukos. We've spoken about this many times. In the language of the Zohar Kaddish, this is called the two levels of emuna. One level is called Yehudit HaTor, the lower unity. And the other level is called Yehud Ilah, the higher unity. What does it mean, the lower unity? The lower level of Amunah, which corresponds to Baruch Shem, Kvay, Mechus, Vayim, Vod. The lower unity means, obviously there's Rabbanu Shalom, He created the world, He runs the world, and we have to obey His command. Sometimes we listen, and if we listen, we get good things. And sometimes it goes the other way, and the other way. That's called Yehud HaTor. There's Rabbanu Shalom, there's us, and we have free will, and sometimes, we Be'ez Hashem, use our free will for good things, and we get good things. We use our free will for better things, we get better things. That's Yehud HaTor. The Gezeirah that was going on in the generation, the fact that they weren't getting rain, was obviously a function of Hashem's providence, based on Yehud HaTor, based on the lower unity, based on this Madrega, right? This level of relationship that Hashem has to the world, that's the level that would allow such a mitzias of Yid not having rain. But then there's such a thing that's called Yehud Ilah, the higher unity. What's the higher unity? The higher unity is Einam Ovadai. The higher unity is that Amichul and Sadiqim. The higher unity is Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Okein, Hashem Echad. Like Rashi teaches. What does Rashi say? What's the simple teach? Hashem, Okein, Hashem Echad. Hashem, Rashi says in Chumash, Hashem Elokeinu means Rachamim. Elokeinu means Midas Hadin. Sometimes it looks like it's Hashem, sometimes it looks like it's Elokeinu, but the truth is it's Hashem Echad, it's all Chesed. It's all good. And it's only a matter of time till it's obviously, it will be seen as such. That's called Yichud Ilah, it's called the higher unity. In the Surah Abdation, we find that, for example, in the name of Hashem, in Vyutke Vavke, these two Madrigas are hinted. The first two letters of Yud Kei represents the level of Hashem's relationship to the world that's called Yichud Ilah, that's called the higher unity, that's called Yud Kei. Yismucha Shemayim. And then the final two letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that corresponds to the lower unity. The lower unity of Baruch Shem Kvoy Malchus Mavoy, Hashem's Malchus, which means you have to obey and so on, and there's repercussions, v'chu. That's Yud Kei and Vav Kei. In the Smart Nation, we find that it also corresponds to father, mother, and Ben and Bas, son and daughter. Ben and Bas, that's called Yichud HaTov, that's called the lower unity. Father and mother, that's called the higher unity. Just as there are these two levels of Emunah, and just as there are these two levels of how Hashem runs the world, there's two types of neshamas. There are neshamas that their shayrish comes from Yichud Ilah, from the higher unity. That's their shayrish. And then there's other neshamas that their shayrish comes from Yichud HaTov, from the lower unity. That's their shayrish. It's different shayrishim. Different shayrishim. Very often, you could have two neshamas coming from the same family. Mamish, same family. One neshama, the shayrish is from Yud Kei, from Yichud Ilah, from Shema Yisrael Shem Kinesh Shemeva. And the sibling is from Vav Kei. Baruch Shem Kvam Uchus Lo Nevoid, Yichud Tata. Such a mitzvah. B'derach Klal, the neshamas of Golas, B'derach Klal, are Yichud Tata, the lower unity. Neshamas of Geula, are B'derach Klal, Yichud Ilah. That's the way it goes. Two different types of neshamas. What type of neshama was, see, let's understand, in order for a tzaddik to be poiled something, it has to be shayich to his sharish neshama. The type of Yeshua that a tzaddik will bring is going to be reflective of who he is in his neshama. What type of Yeshua did Chari Amago bring? A Yehuda Tato Dika Yeshua? Or Yehuda Yelah Dika Yeshua? In the world of Yehuda Tato, the lower unity, then drawing a circle around yourself and saying, I'm not leaving until rain comes, makes the problem, you're now making the problem worse. Because the reason why there's no rain is because Yidden are being rebellious. The reason why there's no rain is because Yidden are being stubborn. And so what are you doing? You're being rebellious and being stubborn. You're making the problem worse. But yet, by Chani Amagel, it was Poyal Yeshua. How? Because the Shurish HaNesham of Chani Amagel was coming from Yichudilua, coming from the higher unity. And in that higher unity, he draws a circle around himself. Rabbanu Shalom, you and I both know that this is all ridiculous. Bring rain. It's interesting. The letter that the Sanhedrin sent to him, they quote in Shimon Shetach also, they quote about Chani Amagel, the Pasuk, that Yismach Avicha V'Sogi Yiladitecha, that your father and mother should rejoice about you. And that's indicating that the Sharash and Hashem of Chani Amagel is coming from that place of law, that place of Chudid law, the higher unity of Abba V'Ima. This is hinted to in the name Chani. What's the Sharash of the name Chani? It comes from the word Chain, right? Chain, Chesnon. What does Chain mean? Rav Nachman, the first Torah of Kudmar, talks about this. What does Chain mean? Chain means, I don't know why, but I like this guy. He didn't do anything to deserve it. Maybe he's doing things not to deserve it. But I can't help but just always give in to what this guy wants. Not because I feel pressure, but just because I like him. It's chayim. Pnimi Sator, for example, the difference between Pnimi Sator and Nigla, Nigla and Nista. Nigla, the chelik of Torah that's called Nigla, is more associated to Yehuda Tato, the lower unity. Right? It's the lower unity. It's the dimension that acknowledges different possibilities, going right and going wrong. It's the sugya of human beings. That's the lower unity. That's Nigla. What's Nister? The only sugya, the only being that's spoken about in Nister is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And everything is Tov Moed. In Eitz Chaim, only at the very, very end of Eitz Chaim, and even then it's very, very short, he talks about klipas and yonim like that. Pnimi Sator is about Elokus. It's about Shema Yisrael, Shema Kinesh Shemech. What's another term for Pnimi Sator? Chochma Nisteres, right? The Yoidei Chayim, right? People that know Chayim, that's called Mikubalim, right? Mikubalim are called Yoidei Chayim. Chayim means Chochma Nisteres. Chayim comes from the Lashon of Chayim. Means the Nakuda, the Shurish of Chayim Yamaga was Yehuda Yiloh. That's how I was able to pile the Yeshuas. But here's the Nakuda. For the Tzaddik to be, if the Tzaddik comes from Yehuda Yiloh, from the Hadar unity, so he could draw a circle around himself and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not moving until rain comes, and rain will come to him. But for him to be pulled such a thing for the whole generation, you know what he's revealing, Chani Amagel. What he's revealing is that the whole generation's neshamas are coming from Yehuda Yiloh. Because in order for the tzaddik to be poil Yeshua, it has to be matin, it has to be a shidduch with his sharash and hasham. And for him to be poil the Yeshua for the entire generation, it means that his sharash and hasham has to be shaykh to the whole generation's sharash and hasham. So the story of Chani Amagel was being Megala, that the root of the Shur Shehan Hashemis of the generation of Chayim Agam were coming from Yehuda Yiloh. And the male that was able to be part of such a thing. This is all that's hinted to in the Gemara. The Gemara says the rain comes, and because of this, the people have to ascend to the Har Abayis. There's one place on earth that is shining with Yehuda Yiloh. What's that? It's Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was a place Asher Yivchar Hashem that the Ribbono Shel Olam chooses. It's a place that the Ribbono Shel Olam is mitzidoi. It's coming from Hashem's place. Everything in the world can be upside down and inside out. The Beis HaMikdash, Kedushas HaOlam, is always sanctified. The Beis HaMikdash means a place of Yehuda Yiloh, the Har Unity. That's what Beis HaMikdash is. Even the word Mikdash, Kodesh means that which is transcendent, that which is mysterious, that which is above. Beis HaMikdash means a place that in this place, you enter into a universe that's called mysterious, that's called mystery, that's called chayim, that's called pnimi sator, that's called yichud yiloh. That's the Beis HaMikdash is. Because of Chani Amagel and the gishmei bracha that he brought, that was a manifestation of a truth that he was revealing in the generation, that the generation should ascend to Har Habayis. That's what he was poyel. And then what happens? They all collect kemein upitrius, mushrooms and truffles. The Gemara says in Brachas, talking about food, tu b'shvat. What bracha do you make in a mushroom? It's on the ground. It's connected to the ground. Says the Gemara, it's not enough. It looks like it's connected to the ground. It is connected to the ground. It's not yoinik. Its chiyus doesn't come from the ground. Its chiyus comes from the avir. The chiyus comes from the air. And even though it looks like it's attached to the ground like a carrot or another vegetable, it's not really. It's growing from above. It means the inyan of Kamina Pitrius is the site of what? Of Yichud Ilov, the higher unity. It's something that looks like it's on the ground, but it's not. It's come from the avir. So the Gishmei Brach of Chani Amagel was Megala that the generation's Mokim is what? Is Har Habayis. It was Megala that what? That the generation, although it looks like that the Raglayim, that the feet of the generation are Mutz of Arza, are on the ground, but it's Rosh and the Gei Shemayim, but the truth is the heads are somewhere else, they're coming from Yichud Ilov. That's how Chani Amagel was called Yeshua. That's why the Sanhedrin send a letter. They're not called the Sanhedrin. They're called the ones that sit in Lishkas Hagozes. What's Lishkas Hagozes? Lishkas Hagozes was a chamber that the Sanhedrin sat in, right? But it was in Beis Hamikdash. The Sanhedrin are the heads of the generation. The Sanhedrin are the root souls of the generation. Those are the Talmidei Chachamim, the Sanhedrin. The Rabbanim, they're the root souls of the generation. They're being described in this Maisa as the ones that sit in Beis Hamikdash. Because that's what Chayyim Magal was Megala. It was Megala that the entire generation, who are rooted in the Sanhedrin of the generation, they are Anshei Lishkas Hagozes. They're men that sit at their proper places, Beis Hamikdash. Their place is Yichud Ilov. And that's what Chayyim Magal was able to repel such a thing. So in the first Maisa of Chayyim Magal, we now have an established. That's why, let's look at it. That's what Shimon, what does Shimon ben Shetach say? Ilimoli Chayni Ata. If it wasn't for the fact that you're chayni, I'd put you in chayim. In other words, if your sherish and neshama was not chayni dik, if it wasn't chayim dik, then drawing a circle around yourself would be the biggest chay, it would be the biggest avla, if you were in chayni. And even if you were chayni, if you were in a different generation, and the generation didn't have your sherish and neshama, for example, the generation of Eliyahu HaNavi, where Elinavi made a shvua the opposite, that they shouldn't get rain, I'd also put you in chayim. But you're lucky, because you're chayim, which means that your sharash and hashem is coming from chayim, it's coming from that place of Yichud Ilov, and you're in a generation that everyone is taka like you, so therefore it works. But if you weren't chayim, or if you were in a different generation, it wouldn't be a ma'ala. Fine? So what you have from the ma'isa, from chayim ma'agal is, two different sharash and hashems. The Sharash HaNeshamas that are called Yichud Ilov, and the Sharash HaNeshamas called Yichud Tata. And Shimon ben Shetach's message to Chani Amagel, and Chani Amagel was Makabal, is that like Baruch Hashem, it worked out, right? It worked out because he's from Yichud Ilov, the generation is Yichud Ilov, they're all Anshei Lishkas Hagozes, they go up to Har Habayis, they're collecting Kamein or Pitrius. So it all works out. But if Taka Chani Amagel was in a different generation, it wouldn't work. Right? That's what comes out from the Sukkah. The Chani Magal had a problem. If this is all true, then what does it mean in the Pasuk where it says, "Shuvah Hashem Shiva Sin Hayina Kicholma"? Does a person sleep for 70 years? What's his kasha? His kasha is like this. The description of that scene, of a person going to sleep, and then waking up, and all of a sudden 70 years later, 70 years is a number that represents the changing of a tekufa. The changing of a period of time, of an era. That's what 70 years means. A lifetime is like Shivim Shana, right? So the pasuk describing Geula is a very strange pasuk. What does it say? It's talking about a Yid of Golos. It's talking about a Yid of Golos. And a Yid of Golos means a neshama that's rooted in Golos. What does it mean, a neshama that's rooted in Golos? It means a neshama that's rooted in Yichud Tatan, lower unity. And what's the description? Not a slow process of somehow this neshama sort of metamorphosizing and developing into something different. The guy is sleeping and he wakes up, all of a sudden it's Gula. The description is that somehow, Keheref Ayin, you could somehow have a neshama of Yehuda Tata, which is Golas, somehow existing and celebrating and having a shaychis to a time period of Geula, which is called Yichud Ilov. That's the description of the pasuk. Someone goes to sleep, wakes up, and all of a sudden they're in a new era. And this new era, they're happy about. They're celebrating Shir HaMalas, B'Shuv Hashem B'Shuv Asiyan. So Eschon Yamabel, this doesn't make any sense. I thought there's two Shereshai Neshamas. I thought if Yehuda Ilah, then Yehuda Ilah. If Yehuda Tatov, then Yehuda Tatov. What type of business is this? Someone from lower unity, Varayis and Golas, and then all of a sudden he wakes up and it's like a new era, which is Yehuda Ilah, that's Gula, that's redemption, and he's like perfectly comfortable? How's that possible? It should be the biggest traumatic experience for him. He should feel completely, you know, like it doesn't make any sense. So what the Rabbanu Shlom did was show Chaim Magal this in his own life. Chaim Magal is from Yichud Yilor, remember, right? He's from Har Unity. His name is Chaim Yilor. What happens? He goes to sleep. And he also sleeps for 7 years. Whereas in the Pasuk, you have a description of a person from lower unity, from Golas, waking up 70 years later and all of a sudden is in Gula mode and feels completely comfortable and wants to connect to the generation and feels a kinship. Chaim Magal is sort of the opposite type of story. You have a Yid from Yichud Yilah from Har Unity, Chaim Magal, he goes to sleep, and he wakes up 70 years later, and now the era that he's in is Yichud Tato, lower unity. And you would think he's a fish out of water. What happens? He goes to the Beis Medrash, right? And the Beis Medrash, all of a sudden the Beis Medrash says, wow, all of a sudden now, The learning is lichtig, like it was at the days of Chaim Magal, indicating that the learning of that generation was considered dark compared to the generation of Chaim Magal. Pnimi Sator is called light, Nigla Sator is called darkness. But Machshakim Hashivani, can you say, Oyvon Zatamo Dalvi, the Gemara says. It means that the generation Chaim Magal wakes up in is a generation whose Torah is dark compared to the generation of Chaim Magal. Which means that the generation Chaim Magal was from is again, Yichud Yilah Dahar Unity. The generation Chaim Magal wakes up in, relative to that, is a dark generation. It means a generation of Yichud Tato. And so Chaim Magal just experienced exactly what the Pasuk says, which is a person from one Sharash HaNeshama, all of a sudden waking up in an era of a different Sharash HaNeshama. And Chaim Magal has the same experience. He's from the Har Unity, and he wakes up in a situation of lower unity, and the stranger thing happens. He's looking for people to connect to. He actually wants to connect to them. Now the Rachmanis is, the sad part, the tragic part of the story is that they don't chap him. But Chaim Magal is so desperate to connect to the people of that generation that he says, Rabbanu Shalom, if I can't connect to these people, then it's not worth living. Oy chavrusa, oy misusa. What oy chavrusa, oy misusa? Even if they would connect to you, you're coming from different places. This is the secret that was revealed to Chaim Magal. That even when you have this system of different Sharash HaNeshamas, you have Yidin of Golas, you have Yidin of Gula, you have Yidin of Yehudi Tato, Yehudi Ilah, Yehudi Ilah, Yehudi Tato, Chassidim, Esnagdim, they're all different types. All different types. And you would think that one person, one Sharash HaNeshama, is only comfortable in their chevra. And you put them in a different chevra, it's like, I'm not interested. And that was Chaim Magal's, that's where Chaim Magal was assuming. And that's why he was bothered with his pasuk of Ayinu Kehomim. The guy is from Golis. He wakes up in Gula, and he's mamish farbrengi with everybody as if they're all on the same page. How is that possible? He's not a Gula Dikid, he's a Golis Dikid. So what Hashem showed Chaim Magal is, I'm going to show you that exactly in your life as well. You're a Gula Dikid. You're a Lichtadiyid. And I'm going to take you, I'm going to put you to sleep, you're going to wake up in a generation of darkness, in generations of Golis Dikid. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to love them. You're going to want to forbid with them. You're going to want to connect with them. And you're going to see them as your brothers. And if they don't look at you as their brother, it's going to pain you ad mavis. So what's the pshat? I thought they're talking different Sharash HaNeshamas, no? The answer is the boxer tree. That's the answer. That's how he went to sleep. By watching this guy planting a boxer tree, he wakes up the boxer tree. What is the word in Hebrew, in Aramaic, whatever, the word boxer is charev. What does the word charev mean? Charev means churban, means destruction. So usually that's a word that we associate with negative things. But here's the deep truth. There's a system of Shar Shen Shamas. There's a system of Gula and Galus and Yichud Eloh, Yichud Tatoh. That's all very, very nice. That infrastructure is 100% true. But guess what? Behind all of that is a deep truth, which is that nothing really changed from before creation to after creation to begin with anyway. We say every day in davening, Atuhu Ad Shelo Nivra Olam, Atuhu Mish Nivra Olam. Hashem, you're the same God that existed before creation. You're the same God of after creation. Which means that with all of creation, which means all limitations and gedarim, and this root neshama, this era, this type of yid, that type of yid, it's all very, very nice. But at the end of the day, when you pull back the tishkas and you reveal the real truth, the deepest nekuda, what you'll find behind the scenes of everything is what? Is charev. Charev. What does charev mean? Not like blowing things up in destruction. It means nothing... The same as it always was from the very beginning. The Gemara says in the Avodah Zarah, the Rabban Shem made the world for 6,000 years, right? 2,000 Toyu, 2,000 Torah, 2,000 Mashiach, 6,000 years. What's the seventh? So everyone is happy with the first, like the 6,000 years. That would be good. Then the next words of the Gemara, everyone gets freaked out about, right? What's the next words? The Chad Charev. And the seventh millennia is Charev. What does it mean, Charev? Destruction. Chas V'Sham. What does Charev mean? Charev means the deep truth behind all things will be revealed, which is that nothing's changed. Everything's the same anyway. It's the same God. The different paths, the different root neshamas, all ultimately come and lead to the same thing. That's churban. Churban in a good way. You know, churban means a truth that undermines the rigidity of the structure. That's what churban means. You have a structure. Galus, Ka'ula, this type of Yid, that type of Yid, Chassid, Misnag, Yigroh, Baal Shem, B'chul, B'chulu, all these different structures, Yichud Ilah, Yichud Tata. But guess what? Yichud Ilah is a revelation of Elikos. Yichud Tata is a revelation of Elikos, but God Himself is deeper than both. You know, in the Sefer Tradition, we find that everything is Ariyan Seif, right? The light, Baal Tanya taught, it's a very deep side. Baal Tanya said, Ariyan Seif doesn't mean the light that comes from the Infinite One. That's what it means. Tanya said, Ariyan Seif means the light that right now is still the Infinite One. Which means light always, in the Sefer Hakadoshim, R always means the energy that's fueling the system, that's fueling the rigid system. And Ein Seif, the Infinite, that's before the system. In the place of Ein Seif, anything could be. But once it's beyond Ein Seif, and now it's the system, now it is already. And nothing can change. Said the Baal Tanya, Or Ein Seif means not the light that comes from Ein Seif, but the light that still is Ein Seif. This is why, again, in Avodas Hashem, in Pnimius, every single accomplishment in Avodas Hashem has to make a Yid feel as if they never started. Because when everything that you accomplish means the system, it means the structure, it means the art. Feeling like you never started means chad charev, it means the churban, it means where things came from before the system. The secret of Avodas Hashem is that even after the system that you create with your learning and your avoda, that it should still be saturating with the aura of charev. And that allows, you know what that does? What that does is that it transforms the system into a system that's malleable. You know why a neshama of Yichud Ilah can relate to a neshama of Yichud Tatah? Do you know why a neshama of Yichud Tatah can relate to a neshama of Yichud Ilah? Do you know why a Yid of Galus can 100% embrace Geula immediately? And do you know why a Yid of Galus of Geula can acclimate to Galus to accomplish what he has to accomplish? Because within the rigid system of Yichud Ilah, Yichud Tatah, there's a charev behind it. And there's a charev within it. And in the kishkas of things, nothing's changed. And that's what allows flexibility. That's the mystery. That's the secret. This is why the Gemara says, the language of the person was, right, when Chaim Adol asks him, like, what are you doing planting a charev? So he says, Hahu Gavra, and he told him that himself, I came into the world with a charev tree. Like, what type of weird talk is that? I don't know. There was a charev tree planted for me. I found a world of a charev tree. That's how I came. Like, with, the answer is yeah. When a person comes into the world, it means that you have your space. You have your sharish, you have your avoido, you have your shlichus. But the secret that this guy was telling Chaim Magal is that my world, which means my structure, my system, my sharish, was coming with the charev. That's the secret that Chaim Magal reveals to us at the end. That's why the name Chaim, like I said, is Chaim, which means Yichudi Allah. But there's two additional letters. Chaini as an additional letter Vav, Chaini and an additional letter Yud. The Yud I understand because Yud means Yudke, that's Yichudi Allah. What's the Vav? That's the secret also contained in the name Chaini. That although he is from the secret of Yichudi Allah, which is Ches, Nun, and Yud, but he can fully acclimate to a Vav. He can fully acclimate to Yichud Tatar. And the truth is, he could have impaled the Yeshua even to a generation that wasn't like him. Because in all truth, in the deepest of truths, all neshamas are the same. All neshamas are similar. And one neshama, despite its unique shayrish, can be magala things and reveal truths to a neshama from a different shayrish. Because ultimately, we all come from the charev. That's the Shiva Saminim with the boxer. It says in Pasuk regarding the Shiva Saminim, how does it go? Eretz, Chitus, Oira, Geffen, Tein, Averimai. Eretz, Zeis, Shemen, Udvash. So the Shiva Saninim are divided into two categories. There's the first five with the first Eretz, right? Eretz, Chitus, Oira, Geffen, Tein, Averimai. That's the first five. And then a new start. Eretz, Zeis, Shemen, which is Alas, Udvash, and Dates. What's the meaning of the two fives? And the Gemara says in Brachas, Al Pi Halacha, that in terms of making a bracha, and you want to know what to make a bracha on first, so you have to think of these two categories as equal to each other. So you make the bracha, if you have no preference, you make a bracha on whichever peri is mentioned first in the list. But don't think of it 1 through 7. Think of it 1 through 5 and 1 through 2. Two separate categories. And they're equal to each other. The Arizal writes in a few places, in Sefer Kutim, in the Kutei Torah, different places. The Arizal says, you know what the secret of these two categories are? I'm not going to go into the parchment of this, but the Rizal says like this. The first Eretz, there's two lands that are talked about over here, right? There's an Eretz with Chitas, Ara, Geffen, Tein, Rimon of the first five, and then there's a second Eretz with Zeish, Shemen, Udvash. Says the Ariya Kabbalah. The first Eretz with the first five meaning, that's the land, that's the universe of Atzilus. That's the place of Ein Amolada, that's the place of Shema Yisrael, that's the place of Yehudi Yilov. And then what? And then what's the second Eretz? Of Zeish Shemen Udvash, the second Eretz is what? Is our lowly place of Baruch Shem Kvayim Mechus L'Navod, of Bechira, of good and bad, of all sorts of things. Yehuda Tato. What's the secret of the Gemara? So you would think, if I'm making a hierarchy, it would be sure be 1 through 7. All the 5 is higher than the last 2. If the first 5 is in Atzilus, and the last 2 is in the lower world, then how could they? And of course, the higher world is higher. That's what the higher world means. Says the Gemara on the unbelievable side, don't think of it like that. These two lists, these two arets, are even to each other. How is it even? How could Atzilus be comfortable in the same dimension as the lower world? And how could the lower world be comfortable in the same dimension as the higher world? The answer is when you eat the Shiva Samina, you also have Baksir. That's the answer. Because all the infrastructures and structures of Shiva Saminim, behind the scenes, is Atu, Atchaloy Nefer Oilam, Atu Mishin Nefer Oilam. You have neshamas that are of the first arts, you have neshamas that are from the second arts. At the end of the day, it's all the same. So the Gemara says in Saita, the Gemara says a Maisa that, I can't remember who, but in those days, an Amor, when he gave a drasha, when he gave a shir, he would have a maturgamon. Wasn't a maturgamon. The Amor would say something. They didn't have microphones. So the Amor would say something, and then you had a maturgamon who had a very loud voice, and he would repeat what the Amor said in a loud way that everyone can hear. So the Gemara says that one of the Amorim, I can't remember who, one of the Amorim, the wife of maturgamon was talking to the wife of the Amor, and they were bickering with each other. They didn't get along so well. So the Gemara says that the wife of the maturgamon said to the wife of the Amora, you think your husband is a bigger Talmud Chacham than my husband? My husband could be just as the Amora as your husband. Why is he the Maturgamon? He's humble. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. He's okay with being a mature woman. But you should know, like anything that your husband says, all the Kiddushin Torah, my husband can say it too. So she was very offended by that. So what does she do? As a good wife, she goes and tells her husband what the conversation was. What is the, you know what your maturgaman said about you? So you know what the Amara said? It's interesting, the Amara didn't like question it. The Amara said, my nafkamina, do you think I care who's greater than who? As long as Kovet Shemayim comes out of it, let him be greater than me, me greater than nafkamina. From him and me, as long as Kovet Shemayim comes. That's living with a boxer. That's living with the charev. That doesn't make a difference. Whether, you know, like it says in Pirkei Avos, we learned this the other day from the Kamarna. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Yizor mitzvah kal geva chamura. The Mishnah says, be careful with even a small mitzvah like a big mitzvah. Shein ante yadei amad v'schorishal mitzvah. So you don't know how big mitzvahs are. Said the Kamarna, you know what it means? Have yizor mitzvah kal geva chamura. When you're doing a small mitzvah, do it with zohar. Do it with lichtigkeit. Do it with your neshama. Because when you do something with your neshama, you do l'shem shemai with pnimius and iskashrus, then the reward that you get has nothing to do with the size of the infrastructure. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the nekuda pnimius that you're connecting to. That's the nekuda. This is why the scene of ki adam etz hasadah that the pasuk talks about is what? Which is the site of Tu Bishvat? Is a scene where everything is around, it's war. What does war mean? War means yuchid tato, it means a lower unity. It means there's enemies and you're fighting. And then in the middle of all of that, there's this fruit tree, which is just pristine and beautiful, and the soldier looks at it and he's taken somewhere else. That's called yuchid ilah. And it's in the same parasha, in the same city, in the same context. Because that's the secret of Tu Bishvat. The secret of Tu Bishvat is, there are some yidden that they're apple trees. There are some yidden that they're orange trees. There are some yidden that they're this type of tree. The Gemara says, when Hashem created the trees, it was an obvious thing that the trees are separate from each other. Grasses can grow intermingled. Trees need space from each other to be healthy. It means the nature of a tree, ki adam etz hasadah, the nature of a tree is, what? In what way does a person compare to a tree? That everyone has their root and their space. One malchus can't touch the other malchus. Everyone has their space. But here's the secret. That pasuk, Ki Adam Etz Hasadah, is in a scene that's being painted describing opposite universes altogether. There's the universe of Yehud HaTatah, which is the Molchama, and the universe of Yehud HaIloh, which is that pristine, beautiful, untouched tree. And they're both in the same story, in the same context, in the same experience, because that's the site of Tu Bishvat. Everyone is a tree, everyone has their space, but you should know the space that you exist in, you should want and can and will learn from every other tree. And you want to connect to every other tree, to forbring with every other tree, to love every other tree, like it's your tree. Whatever type of neshama that you have, every neshama comes from the same place, ultimately, of the Chad Charev. Let me say another ma'aseh. There's, this ma'aseh like this. Rabbi Gershon Kitever was the brother-in-law of the Baal Shem. So the ma'aseh goes that he would once in a while make funny requests to the Baal Shem Tov. So he once asked the Baal Shem Tov that he wants to meet a tzaddik nister. He wants to meet a hidden tzaddik. So he pushed Baal Shem Tov. The first didn't want to do anything. He pushed him. He sarachat the salah. So eventually he gave in. And so he told Rav Gershon Kitever, he said, here, if you want to meet a tzaddik nister, I'll give you the instructions. Erev Shabbos, go to this in the shtetl. Go to the shul Friday night. The minig is over there. What you'll see is that Friday night after davening, all the poor people like line up in the back, whatever it is, and the Baal Batim invite the poor people for Shabbos. One of the poor people that you're going to find over there looks like this. He's wearing that. He gives a whole description. He's a tzaddik nister. Invite him to your house. Like rent a, you know, whatever place that you're staying in. Get this guy to come to you. Get this tzaddik to come to you. He's a tzaddik nister. But Baal Shem Tov said, but just be careful. Just be warned. He's not going to reveal himself. So I'm just telling you, he's not nister, but it's, you know. Okay. So Gershon Kitever goes. He goes there Friday afternoon. He rents a place to stay. He goes to the shul, and they're all davening. after davening, all the aniyim are there, and he finds the guy, and mamish fits the description of Hashem. He invites him to his house. Meanwhile, he's thinking, I'm gonna get the truth out of him. Fine. So he sits by the meal Friday night, and they're talking, they're getting to know each other, and the Gershon Kittever says, "No, maybe you want to share with me a vart?" "No, a vart? What am I? I'm an Amoritz, son of an Amoritz. I don't know anything. What are you asking for me from Torah? I don't know anything." So Gershon says, "No, you must know something." He pushes and pushes and nothing. So Friday night goes without any. And the Gershon, again, he's a brother in law of Baal Shem Tov, he's a tzaddik himself. He's able, he can't pick up on anything. He mamash can't pick up anything. So Friday night goes. Shabbos morning, as they have a suit after davening and so on. Same thing. Pushing and pushing him to share something. Nothing. Mamish, a vault. He cannot break this guy. Okay. Come Shal Shuz. Rav de Ravin. Gershon Kittever is pushing, pressuring. Finally, something turns, and Rav Gershon Kittever sees in this guy's eyes, in this guy's face, that he's about to say Torah. And like his face became lichtig, it was an awe-inspiring moment. But right then and there, as he was about to share, he went back, and he left the room. He shut it down, and that's how Shabbos ended. So Rav Gershon Kittever comes back to Mezhuz River after Shabbos. And Tamid Hashem come greet him. He said, "Gershon, do you have any idea what happened over Shabbos?" He said, "What happened?" He said, "Friday night, the Baal Shem Tov started not feeling well." And so he went to go lay down, and was mamish becoming, as Shabbos was going on, it was getting mamish worse and worse. Atei kach that by Shal Shudis, the Baal Shem Tov, mamish looked like he was about to be nostalgic. He was mamish b'kuch nefesh, until finally, like the fever broke or whatever it is, and he was able to recover, and he's back to himself. But it was like a pelvic gezach. So Rav Gershon thinks to himself, like, one second, I think I know why. So he goes to the Baal Shem, and Baal Shem says, "Let me tell you something." He said, "Every tzaddik that's revealed has to have a partner that's a hidden tzaddik. For every hidden tzaddik, there's a revealed tzaddik. For every revealed tzaddik, there's a hidden tzaddik. This yid that I showed you, the reason why I knew him, is because he's my twin. He's my hidden side. When you were pushing him to reveal himself, and he was feeling the pressure, and you're having the thought of maybe revealing himself, if he reveals himself, then I can't be revealed. You can't have both of them. You can't have both of them." And so at the very, very end, when he was mamish about to reveal, if he said Torah, I would have had to pass away. But Baruch Hashem, he held himself back. It's a nice thing. So I listen, tzaddikim, and Sparim, and Chul, we have no idea. But Baal Shem Tov is telling us something which is true for every single Jew. Every single Jew, there's the Gilui, and then there's the Nistar. There's the revealed, and there's the hidden. There's Yidin that are revealed, there's Yidin that are hidden. There's Yidin that are Yichud HaTorah, there's Yidin Yichud Yilah. And the secret is they're both twins. They're twins. They complement each other. They need each other. They need each other. They have to love each other. The Gula comes only from these Yidin coming together. Hashem should bless each and every one of us. That we should be zeichet to see good pairs from our Avoida. The Rabban should see good pairs from his Avoida. The Rabban Shalom, it says in the Medrash Tanad Velio, that the Rabban Shalom has a midah that he's samech b'chalkai. Hashem is samech b'chalkai. Someone told me this recently. So what does he samech b'chalkai? You know, the Vilna Gaon said, someone, I didn't see this inside, but someone told me that Samech, the Vilna Gaon said that Yaakov Chel Nachlosay, the Chal Yisrael is Hashem's Chelik. So Hashem is Samech B'chalke, Hashem is Samech with the Yidin that he has in his world, in his generation. The Rabban Shalom should see good pairs from us. We should see good pairs Kaviyachal from the Rabban Shalom. We should always be able to ferbrink together. Avas Yisrael, Avas Yisrael, Avas Yisrael. We should be zecha to only share in simchas, v'vias kol tzedrachim, and erev, and erev.
Amen.